Come on, Psalm 55:22 says, cast all your burdens upon the Lord, for he, watch this, he will sustain you, which means uphold you, and he will never allow the righteous to be shaken. I love that. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Gentlemen, thank you. Mitchell, Blaze, thank you guys. Appreciate it. Amazing, amazing morning. Thankful for the worship team. Man, cast all your cares, cast all your burdens, all your heaviness, all your weight upon the Lord. He will sustain you. He will uphold you. He will hold you in that position, and he will never allow the righteous to be shaken, that we can be unshakable in crazy shakable times. Where's the church, man? Where's God's chosen people to say, I stand like a rock on my rock, and I will not be shaken. Come on. Little change of events today. I've asked Renee to be a part of this morning, and I asked her about 3 minutes ago. True story. Honey, I think you should be on stage with me. For what? The message. Oh, okay. And it was like literally just 5 minutes ago. It was amazing. So she's such a great team player. High five, baby.
I'm just amazing. Here to pray.
Just here. That's what I asked her. So could you pray? And then I'm like, change of plan, honey. I would love you to be a part of today. It's going to be amazing. Are you with me?
Yes.
Okay, have a seat. It's amazing. I'm so excited for this. She's like, wow, married to you. Here we go. Can you throw me another water, Carter? Thanks. Look at that. This is you, babe. Sweet. But hey, we're gonna look at some things today. I'm excited for this morning. I'm excited for our time in the Word today. You can turn with me, please, right to Galatians. That's funny, me and my shortness. I can't even sit in that tall chair and read.
No, I can't either.
But we're all right. We're good.
If we can put our foot on it.
Yeah, we can do that, honey. Let's put our foot on it. Let's look cool. We can do that. I love it. But if you would, could you pray? And then we'll go from there. Galatians 6:7 is where we'll start today. Come on.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you that in your presence there is fullness of joy.
Amen.
We thank you for this day, Lord, that you have made. We will rejoice and we will be glad in it. And we thank you, Father, that there's nowhere that we'd rather be right now than in your presence, Lord, that you would just help us as we read your word, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will bring it alive to us in our spirits. Father, that it will change us, Lord, and that we will renew our minds, Lord, that we will become what you need us to be, Father, as we just let this word wash over our spirits today, God. We thank you, Lord, that it is alive and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it is able to divide through bone and marrow, Lord, that it will get into those little places, Lord, where it needs to go today, Father. And we thank you, Father, that your angels are watching over us to protect us and to watch over our children, Father, and kingdom kids, that you would bless this day and the word that is preached in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Come on. Hey, we're going to talk about finances today. We're going to look at this from a consistency brings victory perspective on our finances and reaping and sowing. And what does the Bible really say about finances? Hopefully we'll get this done in one day, but I really want Renee here because I'm going to tell some heart family stories. And we're going to look at just what I mean by family, meaning the beginning of our relationship and the beginning of our engagement, where we really talked about how we're going to do finances. And the very home that I grew up in was a home that firmly believed in tithes and offerings and firmly believed and taught it to the kids and what it means to give and give to the storehouse, which means the local church, which means the church where you benefit from, right? We are called to give to the church where you or your family, you benefit and you're a part of, that feeds you. And we see this, and we're going to talk about this. And Renee and I, in the very beginning of our relationship, of when we got serious of engagement, said, listen, we're going to set this thing up right. And again, I came from a home that understood giving and understood tithes and offerings. I came from a home where my mom's mom, my Nana, true story, when my dad first came to the door, the very first thing that my Nana, my mom's mom, asked my father when he came on their first date was the most crazy, ridiculous question, but I believe this. I believe it answered every question you need to know. He comes to the door, knocks on the door, Nana answers the door and says, young man, do you tithe? Could you imagine that being the open? Young man, do you tithe? Like, that's it. Not, hey, I need you to honor my daughter. You are home by 9 p.m., not 9:01. And my grandfather was nice, tall, and big. He didn't answer the door. Nana answered the door. Son, do you tithe? And my dad lied. Could you believe that? He didn't know what a tithe was at the time. Of course I tithe. He had to look it up in the dictionary. Like, what does tithe mean? Like, It was my mom was worth it, apparently, but and that's a different story. He's asked for forgiveness and repented. We're good. That's, I know that's the truth. Amen. And but when you think about that question, son, do you tithe? Because that is the question that directly reveals your heart. Because the Bible says in Matthew 6:21 that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Son, if you're taking my daughter out, I need to know where your heart is. And that's an amazing question. And I want to look at some things this morning, but I want to talk about a new ministry, and it's taken an amazing finances, and it's been through a wonderful, wonderful gift that a family, an anonymous gift, we have no idea who it is, a family gave to the church. And they asked us, what are some projects of the church? And this is a project that's been around for over a year now that we've been really praying through and thinking through and having meetings about, but yet not having it yet. How do we fully develop this? And it is the Love Thy Neighbor ministry. And it's the ministry of a Believer's Chapel response team. Like, how do we show up on scenes of tragedy? How do we show up on scenes where people are in great need? How do we show up on a scene with a vehicle that can really have a place that is a comfortable, warm place, have a place where we can sit around a table and talk and go over whatever necessary at the time for all different types of events? How is it that we go into the community and give out backpacks to kids? How is it that we get into the community with a specific vehicle that is then wrapped in a whole wrap that says Love Thy Neighbor, that when they see it coming, they know that that is a ministry called Love Thy Neighbor, and the vehicle might be full of clothes, or it might be full of food, or it might be full of backpacks, and we just start showing up and doing things within this community. Church, there is so much developing around this ministry. We've already spoke to some people within Cattaraugus County in regards to dispatch and how is it that you get dispatched. We're going to have meetings set up with different volunteer fire departments because Believer's Chapel of the Lord has allowed us to be so well connected with such influencers within this church to have the ability to do something that is completely way out of the box. Our insurance carrier, it's Church Mutual, and all they do is churches. And guess what? The statement was, I've never seen this before. Amen. And so you've got myself and my son Carter and Matt Kolb and John Ziegler and Jarrett Domes. We get on a plane last Monday at 6:30. Mr. Chris Clock drove us to the airport at 3:30, got on a plane at 6:30, landed in Dallas 4 hours later. The gentleman that we're buying this RV from meets us at the airport. The gentleman's name is Al. He is fantastic, fantastic. And this is after, and Matt has been brilliant with this, and Matt has done, we have done our due diligence as a church where we have hired two different companies to go in and inspect this RV. We're not flying to Dallas and then turn around and coming home, right? We're inspecting this thing. There's been hundreds and hundreds of pictures that were sent to us, a full-out RV inspection, mechanical inspection. We did our due diligence to say this is the one. We got an amazing, amazing price on this. So we show up at the airport. Big Al shows up in his big vehicle, takes the five of us men to right, 15-minute drive to where the RV is. He gives us the one over, and this is what you got to do. Here are the keys. And then we just start heading north. Unbelievable. And our first stop was we get gas, and we clean the windshields because it's just dusty from sitting in the RV, you know, park area. Not RV park, but we're like a storage place for RVs. And so we're cleaning all the windows, and then we head to Walmart, and we start buying like pillows and blankets and stuff because it's a five and drive, baby. It's like, listen, you drive for 4.5 hours, you drive for 4.5 hours, you drive for 4.5 hours, and we'll pee in the toilet. Like, let's go. Like, it would pee as you drive. Like, it was truly fly and drive, five and drive, and it was a straight shot back. We were back by Tuesday early afternoon. And here's a picture I want to show you because it was filled with crazy laughter. It was unbelievable. Like, that was weird. I mean, it was unbelievable. That was one of those gut laughters. And of course, Matt's driving at this point. I'm co-pilot. These guys are having a blast. And it was just, it was a 24 hours of craziness. Honestly, to do something that is truly unheard of, that we now become the Believer's Chapel response team, and the ministry is called Love Thy Neighbor. And it is, and we're buying a trailer for this. There's a lot yet to fill it. We're having this thing wrapped, so it's not, I don't want it to look like an RV. I want it to look like Love Thy Neighbor. And it's just, church, it's things that are starting to show up on the horizon here that are going to be a very real deal here within the next few months. And that's because of generous people. And it's because of this church that trusts this church. We are family, and we are so thankful that you trust us with your obedience and what it is to give tithes and offerings. And we are so excited to get into this community. And we are called to love in particular moments when people have tragedy and when people are broken and people are hurting. And we're going to do this to the glory of God. And we're going to see God do an incredible, incredible work. I already have a group of guys that are like the team that are just designing this thing and putting this thing together. And it's an incredible team of men that are just coming together saying, okay, I think this is what we need to stock it with. I think this is where this thing can be. And again, we have a slight. This is how BC rolls. I'll tell you how amazing this thing is in just a few years. I'll tell you the fullness of this picture in about 5 years. But I believe that this is something that the Lord has put on our heart to do, and we're doing it, and we're trusting him truly along the way. And it's amazing how he has provided. And then when this thing just begins to flow, we'll get a much wider picture of the possibilities of Love Thy Neighbor. It's going to be amazing. And we have the right people in this church to do something that is incredible, right? And that's just one picture of a new ministry on the horizon that will be in our region, that will be known to be in our region. And again, I've said this from the beginning. You've heard me say this many times. I want people in this community that we live in to be excited that this church exists within their community, whether they ever step foot in this building or not. When they hear the name Believers Chapel, I want something in their spirit to say, man, I'm glad that church is here. Why, do you go there? No, I don't, but I know that they do this, this, and this. So I'm just glad they're in our community. That's huge. That's huge. And this is where we have been in so much outreach that we have done, and this is where we're headed with new outreach to have. It's just so exciting. It's so exciting. But I want to just get into this. I'm going to read Galatians 6, verse 7, and then I want to talk about Renee and I a little bit, and I want to really speak to the young people. I want to speak to the youth. I want to speak to the college students, and I want to speak to those this morning. And I'm asking that you would hear this, please, because again, if you start right and you stay right, you'll end right. But for those of us in the middle, for those of us who said, man, I wish I set this thing up before I got married. I wish I had a husband-wife spousal relationship that understood finances belong to the Lord. Like tithes and offerings belong to the Lord. Like, man, I wish we started that way, because now we're kind of in a system and we've outspent our paycheck and there's very little room to be able to do it right. I get that. I get that. But it's in the process now of, I want to really speak to the teenagers, and I really want to speak to the college students, but yet I want to speak to every single person in between and beyond that says, okay, maybe it's time to make some little tweaks. Maybe it's time to not have the cup of coffee that, you know, I'm meddling now, and don't throw anything at me. I know the coffee, me of all people, know how important coffee is. I love it. But I think it's time to see Bible-wise God's heart for money. And I understand the reality that about 500 times the Bible talks about prayer, how important that is. And we pray and we're juiced about praying and like, woo, let's pray, we're prayer warriors. Man, and it's just great. And it's about 500 times. And then almost about 500 times the Bible talks about faith, which is, oh, I'm going to trust God. I'm pressing in. My faith is strong. And man, you get all juiced about that and it's all exciting. And then when you talk about money, it's like, huh. But yet money is talked about in the Bible over 2,000 times. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. Jesus taught on money more than he taught on heaven and hell combined. It's a big deal. And when you're in the position that we're in as a church, when Renee and I have been in a position for 28 years of our marriage, it's real easy for me to talk about money. This isn't like stress. This isn't like, oh, we got to preach on money. No, I love it. Our church is extremely healthy financially. This is, please hear me. I need you to hear this right off the top. This is not a money grab. We are very healthy financially. So you got to know that. This isn't like we're in deep debt and we need this and let's go empty the pocketbooks. Heavens no. This is teaching on scripture because consistency brings victory. And Renee and I have lived a life of consistency when it comes to tithes and offerings. And when you even look at this year's first fruits, Renee and I had conversation about first fruits this year. And this is a year that in our lives, personally, a lot of money is going to be going out this year. And it's like, okay, what are we going to do for first fruits, honey? And when I ask you to pray about first fruits, I need you to know that we pray about first fruits. What does that look like for us this year? And Renee's like, Sean, it needs to be more than last year. And I'm like, okay. What did we do last year? And let's add to that. And let's do more this year than we did last year. In a year that's going to be an expensive year for us, which is great. But it's like, okay, we're just going to trust the Lord. And please hear me. We're going to talk about it today in a way of you reap what you sow. But I am one that my heart is in a place to say, God, I give not because I'm going to get. That's wrong motive. Number one, I give because we're told to give. Number two, I give because I'm madly in love with you. I don't give because I say, God, you owe me. He doesn't owe me anything, church. Hosea, God says to Hosea, listen, all the gold and all the silver is mine. That's what God says. He tells us in Deuteronomy, he says, listen, you only have wealth because I gave you the ability to gain wealth. That's it. Sean, I'm the one who owns the heavens and the earth. And it's funny because we actually think God needs our money. When the new heaven is going to be filled with this transparent, beautiful gold as streets like you have never seen before. God can make money float if necessary, church. Like, he doesn't need our money. So when you start talking about money, it's not, God, you owe me, because he has given me everything and he owes me nothing. But man, I owe him everything. And when you understand true biblical giving, it's a true joy. It's a true joy to be able to give into God's work and to walk in that obedience. But Renee, I want you just to share for a minute. Surprise. So tell me about the beginning. We'll get to Galatians 6 in a minute, but I want you to share when we came together and we said, okay, we're going to start this thing right, because I want the teenagers to hear this. I want our young adults to hear this. And I want us to say, okay, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it right from the beginning, because in this series, consistency brings victory. We have never gone without. And it was your brilliant idea to say, I think you should leave full-time police work and go into ministry. Brilliant. Like, I think you should leave that great paying job with great benefits and a great retirement to go into ministry, which we don't have any of that. So that's a brilliance. Let's do that.
Okay.
And we are completely blessed. And through that, the Lord has been so good to us.
Yes. The Lord is good. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to sit down in my chair.
Okay. You know, the Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver. And we, honestly, we do get so excited to give. I mean, I love to give. Sean loves to give, you know, especially into God's work. And, you know, the Bible says that when you give, you know, it will be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Like, you can never give. You can never overgive. Let's just say it like that, you know. And the Bible says that he gives seed to the sower. And we're all supposed to be sowing into God's kingdom. And the more we sow, the more seeds come back. It's amazing. It's just one of those laws that God created. And, you know, you think of a garden, and I talk about this sometimes, you know, with my son, that, you know, you have a garden, and I have actually not quite a garden. I just plant pots on my patio and I fill them with the soil, and then I plant a few seeds, like tomato seeds in there, three seeds. And out of those three seeds, you see how your seed is sown, and then the fruit comes forth and it's multiplied. And then inside those little tomato plants, there's more seed. So it's just an interesting, you know, law that God has created, that that as you sow into God's kingdom, he will keep on, not that we're, you know, here to give, to get, like Sean said, but as we sow, more comes back to you so that your hand can always be giving again. And so we've always...
Well, let me read that. It's in 2 Corinthians 9. I love what you're saying. It says this, now he who sows seed to the sower and bread for food will be supplied and multiply your seed for sowing and increasing the harvest of your righteousness. When you're speaking, that's the verse that goes with that from 2 Corinthians 9. Now he, that's God, who supplies the seed comes from him, to the sower, that's us, and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing, right, and increase the harvest of your righteousness.
Right. And so God provides bread for us, for food, and then he also says that he wants to give us more than enough so that we can go and give to others and give to his work. And I love Love Thy Neighbor, the BCRV. This is amazing because this is our opportunity to get out into the community and take what God has given us, who much has been given, much is required. So we get to go now, and we get to go to the hurting and the broken, and we get to be able to give them that drink of cold water. Water on a hot day, or wherever they are in need, if they're cold and they need a blanket, we get to be there and we get to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And I was just thinking about that with, you know, Jesus when she saw the woman at the well. And he said, you know, you're going to drink water from this well, but the water that I have, I give to you. It is eternal. And if you drink from it, you'll have eternal life. So this gives us the open door to go to someone who's hurting, who does not know the kingdom of God, who does not know what God has provided, that we can be the one that says, you know, now we have the opportunity to preach God's word to you, that it will bring salvation to you. And that is the whole goal and purpose. So
back to our engagement.
I know.
No, I love it. Okay. I asked you up here for that. Like, I want the Renee show, like a day with Renee. It's amazing. Come on.
You know, Sean and I, we were in a local church, and, you know, we always knew that we would give a tithe and an offering. We have never just tithed 10%. We've always gone above. We love to go above, and we love to give. And we were planted in that church, and that church was going through even a building fund. And because they were adding an addition onto the church. And actually, we, you know, helped, you know, with, he was actually, you know, put his hands and his feet to the ground and was digging and, you know, moving dirt and doing things. And I was having children, but we loved to give to that work. And God blessed it. And, you know, you can see how when you give to God's work, he blesses you. It is a miraculous, and it's supernatural, because we were wanting to buy a home. And it's, you know, if I can tell that story, I, you know,
quick story.
But, you know, I, you know, had my heart set on a home in a neighborhood, and the house was on the market for a very long time. And I believe this was part of our faithful giving to God's house and building his house and being active and really pressing in to see what God would do. And this house was on the market, and, you know, just, you know, through talking to people, they would say, oh, I looked at that house, but that house was way too expensive. Oh, yeah, we looked at that house, but, you know, they're asking way too much. So Sean and I prayed, and I really loved this neighborhood, and I loved the house, and I said, you know, well, we just prayed. We're going to pray. And so, Lord, tell us what we should, you know, offer. And Sean gave a price, and it was well below. And this is 28 years ago. Mm-hmm. Or no, it would be like, sorry, Carter's age. So it was right before Carter was born, so 24-ish. So 24 years ago, we offered way below asking, And our realtor was like, okay, I'll make the phone call. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a few hours later she called and she said, are you guys sitting down right now? And she was in disbelief herself. She's like, I want you to know they took your offer. And we were like, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. You're amazing. You know, he makes the impossible happen. And this, you know, I believe it was because God loves to bless his children. He loves a cheerful giver. He loves when he can, you know, make his laws of, you know, giving and just see that work in his, you know, sons and daughters' lives. And so we would, you know, see, you know, certain people, and one comment was, if I would have known how much you got that house for, I would have put that offer on. But guess what? You weren't praying to God. You weren't praying to Almighty God for that. So God did not give that to you. But I mean, it's just amazing how as you stay faithful, God is so faithful. And I just want to encourage you today to keep on giving your tithe. Don't give up on God, because it says in Malachi, it says that, what does it say? It says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse and watch. It says that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room to even store it. And it says, I will also prevent pests from devouring your crops and your vines and your fields. And your fruit will not drop before its time. I mean, there's just so much in God's word. It's so rich and it's so fulfilling. And you just have to cling to those promises and know that God is doing a mighty work here. And I've said it to my kids before. We are so blessed that we are able to walk along Amen. The Lord God Almighty in only in New York and have a church like Believer's Chapel because of the people. You make up the church, you know? It's not just Sean, and it's not Amen. Just me, and it's just not the leaders. It's like we are the church, Amen. And all together we work at this, and we are blessed together, and we are able to do what God wants us to do, that we are able to go out to the hurting, and that when as we sow our seed, as we keep sowing our seed, Amen. God returns it, and it's like a never-ending flow that he keeps on opening doors for us, you know, as we went from, you know, the
living room,
as we went to the brown box, we went from the park to the brown box. See, that is how God is so good, and he wants to increase you and keep increasing you in every area of your life. God wants to bless you. It says that his favor is like a shield around his people. As you are faithful, he creates this shield of favor around you, and what a blessing it is that we get to be in this big building now, and who knows what his plans are, but we just walk faithful. And we continue to do what he tells us to do, and then God blesses, and we are part of what he wants to do. We pray and we say, Lord, what is it? You know, and it's not us saying, okay, we're going to do this, Lord, and you come with us. We're going with you, Lord. Yeah. Where are you leading us? You send us and we will go. And that is part of just, you know, the blessing of just following after the Lord and letting him open these floodgates. He's opening up the floodgates of heaven, and he's letting us be a part of seeing many people come to the knowledge of Jesus.
That's awesome. And just in the beginning, like when we were in the beginning of our dating, and then we got serious and got to the engagement, like it was a very real financial conversation. Like we are going to have our budget, and the top line of that budget is tithes and offerings. This is what we will give, and then we are going to live off the rest. Like, that's how we set it up from the very beginning, and it's never changed. And when you set it up from the very beginning, this is why this is so important for young adults. This is why it's so important for those who are newly married, for those who are going to be married, that you say, listen, if we're going to do this, we're going to do it right from the beginning. Therefore, it's never a struggle. Like, our first line of the budget is always God's giving, the church. Like, what does the tithes and offerings look like? And then we will live off of the rest. Our entertainment will be off the rest. Our housing will be off the rest. Our vehicles will be off the rest. And when you saw some of vehicles, you realized vehicles were usually on the bottom of the barrel, right? And when you see that they're sacrificed to giving, but yet God will always always blessed. And that's why it's so important that I really believe that you start right. And when you stay right, you end right. And there is this consistency of giving that leads to great victory. Come on, let's look at the 2 Corinthians, please, if you would, chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we will go to Malachi. That is right towards the end of the Old Testament. And I want you to see this from a biblical point of view, that this is what the Lord says. And we have to remember, the Lord Jesus himself said in Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so when we start speaking on finances, you start speaking on matters of the heart, right? Matters of the heart. Because we know where our heart goes, there our treasure goes, and you can look at our checkbook, we can look at our online, whatever, you know, you get your statements online, you can look at that and say, you know what, this really is my priority. This is truly what I value most. And you can look at that from your spending, right? And we look at this and we see it in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, start right in verse 6, he says this, now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Here you see it, where he's speaking of finances. And this is Paul writing this to the Corinthian church. He says this, now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. And again, sowing and reaping, it, amazing how God sets up through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in writing so much scripture from Genesis to Revelation. He uses a farming principle throughout the Bible. He uses a farming principle throughout the Bible of reaping and sowing. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Like if a farmer is upset that he's looking in his field and he sees a bunch of corn, right? He sees all this corn grown and his buddy comes over and he says, listen, I can't believe that I've got all this corn growing. And the other farmer says, well, what did you plant? Oh, I planted corn. And then the gentleman would be like, dude, you need some psychological help. Like you planted corn, you have corn. Like it makes sense, right? Biblically speaking, same farming principle applies. What you sow, you will reap. And watch this. How much you sow is how much you will reap. It's just that the simplicity of reaping and sowing. It's the simplicity of planting. It's the simplicity of growing. And it's the simplicity of harvesting. It's a principle of how God set up farming and farming the land in regards to sowing and reaping. And he says this, verse 7, each one must do as he purposed in his heart. And I know, listen, we don't have time to get into the Old Testament, New Testament. Is tithing really for today? It's an Old Testament law. Actually, if you look at Leviticus, it was given through before the law even showed up. It was given, and we could go through a whole thing on this. Bottom line is this, is if there's any debate on whether tithe is for today or not, the biblical scholars who teach that maybe tithe isn't for today, what they will say is that 10% is the bottom line. Because they actually believe New Testament givers should be far above and beyond. So when you, and it's amazing to me that people, why is it that people work so hard to get out of giving? That's amazing to me. I've never understood that. Why is it that people want to debate whether you're supposed to give 10% or not? When in the biblical truth, it all belongs to him. I breathe air that he gives me to breathe. I have the ability to work because he's given me the ability to work. So when your mind is a biblical mind and you understand 100% actually belongs to him, he allows me to steward 90% of what's already his, but yet 10% does belong to the Lord. And please hear me, it's not because God needs it for the gold. All the gold and silver is already his. This is a matter of the heart. This is a matter of if my heart is for the Lord and his work, then my pocketbook will reveal that. Listen, I'm not going to get into this big debate, but when you understand the biblical truth that 100% is his and we are called to steward 100% of the finances, he allows us to steward and maintain 90%. And yet 10% belongs truly to the Lord in the church, in the local house, to do the work, then giving never becomes difficult. It's never a struggle. And then you add the heart piece. All that he's done for me, and I'm going to try to debate about giving. It's amazing that people work so hard. Isn't it a true test of the heart, though? When you work so hard on trying to convince yourself not to give, when it really all belongs to him anyways, right? So I want to finish this. Look at this. Each one must do as purposed in his heart, not grudgingly, not under compulsion, not because there's this big heaviness to have to give. That's what that's talking about. For God loves a cheerful giver. For God loves a cheerful giver. The word cheerful there, it's hilarious. It is that giving that brings great cheer. It's hilarious, which could mean sacrificial. See, when you see God loves a cheerful giver and you begin to understand, for God so loved the world that he gave, we're walking in a pattern of being like our God in a sense of being a cheerful giver. Please hear this. For God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything. Highlight these. All grace abound to you. It's God who is able. Right? Listen, you reap what you sow. Give as purposed in your heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, for God is able, watch it, God is able to make all grace, highlight all grace abound to you, so that always, circle that, having all sufficiency, circle all, in everything, circle everything, that you may have an abundance, that's an overflow of every, circle every, good deed. Always, all, everything, and every, having good deed. Verse 10. Now he who supplies, that's God, he who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for food, seed, speaking of finances here, it's God who supplies the seed. We got to get that for this foundation. When we say in marriage, God, we're going to do this thing your way, we're going to give right off the very, very beginning, the first line of our budget is tithes and offerings, and then we live off the rest, and it will always be that way. That cannot change. It will always be that way. Renee and I have functioned that way, and God has rewarded and God has blessed, but we don't give in order to get. Wrong motive. God just adds blessing to it because he's good. We got to know that. And I love this. For he, God, who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. And you will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. Turn to Malachi, please. Malachi chapter 3. Right to the Old Testament. Right to the Old Testament. Last book in the Old Testament. And it says this. Malachi 3, verse 6, please. For I, the Lord, do not change. And that's huge. It's amazing. He says this, and it's in a part of Scripture that's a financial part of Scripture. And honestly, when's the last time you heard me speak from Malachi 3 on finances? It's been years. And when you see Old Testament, New Testament, and you see, you know, are we called to tithe? Are we? And I believe the tithe in the New Testament truly is the baseline. I think that's the starting point. We can get in, well, tithing is law, and like there's moral laws that don't change. There's a lot of different things that surround that statement, right? There's a lot of different laws from the Old Testament that carry over to the New Testament. And you see where it says this, right in the beginning here, it says, God does not change. And then he goes right into finances here. Watch this. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, sons of Jacob, are not consumed. And Malachi is written through the prophet Malachi. God is speaking to Malachi once again. Once again, the children of Israel, God's chosen people, are on the wrong path. Once again, they started going after idols. Once again, they started slipping backwards. Once again, they started drifting from the power of God. Like, it's amazing when you see God is so patient. We talked about this last week. And then you begin to see, once again, God comes to this prophet Malachi and says, listen, once again, they're drifting. Once again, they're wandering. That's what this book is about. Getting them back. Getting them back. And when you see New Testament, once again, man, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. When you begin to understand money really is a matter of my heart, it really is a test to where my heart really is. Where is my passions, that which I value most? And look at what God says on this. Verse 7, from the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and you have not kept them. This is what the Lord says. Return to me. Return to me. And I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Great question. God said, listen, I need you to come back. You're wandering, return to me. And when you draw near to me, his promise is true. Old Testament, New Testament, God says, I do not change. I will draw near to you. Return to me. And I promise you that I will return to you. Children of Israel, like, high-fiving, like, man, that sounds great. How do we do that? How do we return to you? What is it that caused us to wander? This is huge. Look what the Lord says. Verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? Look what he says in tithes and offerings. For you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. Test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven. Look at this. It's amazing when he speaks on giving, there's a blessing. But if your motive is only blessing and not understanding the heart to give because it belongs to the Lord, the blessing's negated. Know that. Right, Proverbs 3 says, honor the Lord from your wealth. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. I use this verse often because it's one of my favorites, because my heart is to always honor the Lord in everything I think, say, and do. You say, I want to love the Lord with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my mind, with all of my, I want to love God with my heart, for where my treasure is, there my heart will be. So if I'm loving the Lord with all my heart, my finance will follow that. It's not complicated, right? It's so simple. It's so simple. And this is what he says. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Verse 10. May food in my house test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. And what? Your barns will be filled. Proverbs 3. And your vats will overflow with new wine. Isn't it amazing that in giving, the Lord gives a blessing? There's the priority, there's the purpose, and then there's the promise. Amazing where God says, test me now in this. Watch this. Verse 11 is huge. We don't want to miss it. Then, that's after we give, then I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, for you. Watch this. Then I will rebuke the devourer for you. When you begin to unpack this and you start highlighting this, and for you is highlighted in my word here, because it's he's not rebuking the devourer for his kingdom. He's not rebuking the devourer so his kingdom is fed finances. We gotta see the text for what the text says. I will rebuke the devourer for you. I love that. I love that. That God Almighty is going to rebuke the devourer when he comes after my finances and he comes after my blessing. He says, son, for you, I rebuke the devourer. Watch what it says. So that it will not destroy the fruit of the ground, nor will your vine in the field, nor will your vine in the field cast grapes, says the Lord of hosts. Isn't it true that the enemy wants to destroy your seed so you get no harvest? But God says, hold on, when you do it according to my program of tithes and offerings, I will rebuke the devourer so there'll be grapes on the vines. Church, what happens when you see Old Testament, New Testament combining here? What happens when, and if somebody wants to say, well, Sean, I don't believe tithing is of the New Testament, I can give you an absolute high five and say, amen. I can see where you're coming from that, but I also see that that's the bottom line. I also see where then, amen to that. Are you trying to get out of giving, or are you saying, you say, man, I think we give more? Because that would be my question to that. Because honestly, when I ask you that question, I've asked this question before. So are you trying to get out of giving? Man, they just like deer in the headlights. When you know God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son, put a son on a cross, beaten, battered, and destroyed, so you can have everlasting life, and you're going to shortchange God because you heard some teaching somewhere online that you now are like, I got out of it. I never, ever, ever followed that teaching. When you are fully in love with Christ and amazed, truly amazed by the grace of God. And he says, listen, 100% of it is mine. And I'm asking you to steward the 100%. And then I'm asking you to steward the 90%. And I'm asking you to give me the 10% for the work of my kingdom. Woo! It changes everything. Giving should never be difficult. Giving certainly isn't complicated. And I enjoy speaking on finances from a very healthy place. Church, I don't do money grabs. If you've been in this church a long time, you know I don't do money grabs. I said, hey, here's a need. I say, hey, here's a need. We take up very, very few special offerings. Very few. First fruits is one, and that usually is designated to something of that year, which you're very generous this year for first fruits offering. And it's going towards the RV, and it's going towards Love Thy Neighbor, and it's going towards our athletic field and some different outreach. It's just amazing. Because I love where this church truly is in the understanding of tithes and offerings, and the understanding of the importance of giving, and the understanding of stewardship. We are a blessed house. We are a blessed house. And I am so thankful. So thankful. You got last word, baby? You got anything?
Amen. I just love that the word of God says that that all nations shall call you happy and blessed. For you shall be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. And so when we are givers, when we, you know, reach out our hand to give, it says that you will be a land of delight. And what a light you are to your generation as people see you reaching out your hand to give, because you see people who need a drink of water, who are poor, who need clothes, who need food, and whatever you have, you want to offer it in the name of the Lord, then people are going to be, who is this God that you serve? This is so that you can be that light to your generation, that you can have that witness and that testimony that will draw people into the kingdom so that others will be saved. And so it's just how amazing that God says that he's going to bless us. And it says even the righteous man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. And I love that, because as I have just dove into the word of God about, you know, giving and tithing and being a cheerful giver, I've told my children, someday I'm going to leave an inheritance for my grandchildren, because I want to stand on the word of God, and I want to see that I can leave an inheritance. That's how much I want to test the word of God, because I'm so on fire about what the word of God has told me, that we can be such a blessing, that now, because that God has made us righteous, we can go and we can be a blessing to even further generations that we might not ever see, that they can carry the gospel and have a heritage. And so I get so excited, and I just want to challenge everyone today. Just dive into it, and you test the word of God, and you see how true it is, because he says, test me now in this. You can test him, and see if he will not pour out such a blessing on you that you're going to be amazed, and you will see it with your own eyes while you're on the earth, because it says that the land will see the delight of it. So, amen.
Hey, come on, let's just stand to our feet. We'll close this thing out. And I'm just, Renee, thank you for the surprise attack this morning. You go get him, girl. Now you know what's coming in the second service. And I just appreciate your love for the word. I do. I love. I'm watching SportsCenter and she's studying. That's how it goes, folks. Amen. I do. I appreciate your love for the word. I appreciate your willingness just to be Mrs. on the spot this morning. I think truly we're blessed to hear from you. And just, church, I love my wife. And we have a great, a fun, true marriage and relationship. And I can't encourage young people enough. Do it right. Start right. Make finances a priority. Because truly, money can be one of the greatest struggles within a marriage is finances. If you do it right and you have God's blessing on your finances from the very beginning, and you give the 10, he blesses the 90, church. If you're young in your marriage, you say, okay, maybe we just need to rearrange some things. Or maybe you're old in your marriage, it's like, okay, we need to fix some things. This is what I encourage you. Please hear me. My man Matt he's incredible with his finances, with financial teaching. And we have a ministry called Money Matters. And if you're like, how do I do this? Then I encourage you, please see Matt Cope. He's the executive director of Believer's Chapel. I have put a lot of different things on his plate. Love thy neighbor is truly going to be a huge piece of Matt Cope. Finances here in this church are a huge piece to Matt Cope. He is our executive director. And he has sat down with so many already through Money Matters and has done an amazing work of straightening things out. Sometimes people don't like what he says. But when you just look at the digits, it's like, I guess this works. And he's got Financial Peace University. Matt and Lori are running that, and it starts today, and it's certainly not too late. It's not too late to sign up. First one starts today, 3:00 at BC West. If you want to be a part of that, please see Matt today. But if you're young in this house, and you're young in high school years, you're young in college years, you're young in marriage, I cannot strongly enough encourage you. Make sure you start right. Make sure that is the first line. And then for all of your life, you live off the rest. And parents, when your kids just start working, you start talking about giving. You start talking about tithes and offerings. You want kids that are givers and not takers. And that starts by giving. We are a church that wants to be known for our giving and not a church that just takes. We contributed a lot and we're excited about it. But teach your kids what it is to give. As soon as they get a paycheck, say, hey, listen, this is what the Bible says. This is tithes and offerings and the Lord will bless. And this is for the house, man. This is for God's kingdom. Where is it that you're being blessed? Where is it that your children are being blessed? What is it this church is doing for you and teaching and encouraging and building? And then this is the place for your tithes and your offerings. And God is doing a beautiful work here. And this is to encourage you and to speak. Consistency brings victory. Consistency brings victory. And please hear me. It's never too late to make a change. It's never too, God's blessings always remain the same in our promises. It's never too late to make a change. If you need help in your finances, this is what I love about Believer's Chapel. Is we want a ministry for almost every area, and finances is a huge piece to life. It was a huge piece to Jesus' teaching. Please see Matt Cole. Please set up a meeting with Matt. If you're like, how do I do this? Man, he is brilliant when it comes to the digits. I love it. I'm so thankful for Matt. I'm thankful for what he brings to this ministry. And he will help you. He will help you. Come on, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the day. Thank you for our moment and our time. And Lord, as we dismiss, we're just grateful for just all you're doing here in this house. I thank you for every person who is so generous and so faithful. I thank you for the tithes and offerings within this place. God, I thank you for a godly wife who from the very beginning, We had an amazing agreement that this is going to be the way it is for all of our days. Lord, you will be first in our finances. And Lord, you have been so good to us. You have been so good to us. And we thank you for it. Bless this church. Bless Love Thy Neighbor. Open doors for that ministry. Give us great favor in this community. I thank you for every person, God, that has great influence in our area that is opening doors for this ministry. Thank you for your blessing on Believer's Chapel. Thank you for the finances of this church. And thank you for every person in this house that is partners to this ministry, that there is such blessing to it. In Jesus' name. Come on, amen. Hey, Matt does have the RV. I don't even call it RV. The response team vehicle out there. It's open. You can see it. We looked at many different of those type vehicles. And this is the one we came up with because it's really got a ton of space. For a 25-footer, there's a ton of room in there. But please take a look at it and just be thankful when you see it of what God has done. Come on, amen? Amen.